Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf ayin hey, and we're holding about 10 lines from the top of the omad at the beginning of the line. Rava Omar, hacha beisha chashuva askina. What is Rava coming to tell us? Rava is coming to answer the kasha that we asked yesterday. Back on the top of ayin dalid omad beis, we asked the stira, two brises, back to back. First brise on the top line. Tana Rabbanan Holcha Eitzel Chacham V'Hitira V'Chudeshes. The husband made a Tanai on the Kedushin, Ariat V'Chudeshesli, Amanas She'en Olayich Nidarim. And unfortunately, she had Nidarim. And we learned back in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis, if a person Mekadeshes Isha, Amanas She'en Olayich Nidarim, Ein V'Chudeshes. So what did she do? She went to a Chacham. And the Chacham was matter than neither. Baruch Hashem, says the Brais Mekudeshes, even though at the time of the Kiddushin she had Nedarim, since however the power of being matter neither is such that it's Oikil Mafreya, so therefore it's as if she had no Nedarim, Mekudeshes. But the second Brais, which was about five lines in, Batanya Eitzel Chacham V'Tira, Einu Mekudeshes, is the chastira. Here it says, Yo, and du shtai nisht. No, make up your mind. The Gemara gave one teretz yesterday, that in fact it's a machloikis between her mayor and her blazer. What's the machloikis with the odem roicher to his baze, ishtai bedezdin, or not? And that is, even if halachically she's able to go to a chochem or to a bezdin, to go and be matir neder, but her husband may not want her to go to the bezin to be matir neder because he doesn't want his wife to be in a public forum where she has to concede that she's an isha nadruanis and that she has to be matir neder. The husband says, "Mali letzora zois, what do I need this for? That was part and parcel of my original tonight. I don't want you to be a nadruanis because I don't want to go to bezin. I want you to go to bezin. I don't bring this whole parsha whatsoever." So therefore, even if she's able to be matir neder, if you hold that ein odem roichet tzbazi ishtem bezin, says vayta ein mekudeshes, because that's not what I had in mind. Your neder nish neder. I had in mind that number one, I don't want you to be a balas nedarim, and I don't want you to go and dreizach and batei dinim with the rabbis. It's not for me, and therefore ein mekudeshes.
The chatchili didn't want her to be.
That's why he made it Nitanai in the first place. If he wouldn't have minded, we wouldn't have a whole sing, and we could have closed the Gemara half an hour earlier yesterday. Anyway, so that was the Machlokes and the Teretz according to yesterday. Rava gives a new Teretz today. Rava Amar. Hocha be'isha chashuva askina. The Omar le'nichali de'itzar be'kroi be'seah. What's Rava's Teretz? Rava's Teretz is anytime you're telling a woman, I don't want an isha nadranis. He really has two things in mind. Number one, I don't want you to be a person that already has nadarim from the past. Even if you could be matir, nish matir, I don't want that. But in addition to that, I don't want you to make nadarim in the future, where I will have to be mefer, or we're going to have to go to bezin. I don't want that. What are you going to tell me? Worst comes to worst comes to worst. If the husband is not happy with his wife, he can always give her a get. That works if the woman happens to be just a regular, plain, ordinary shprinza. What happens if shprinza comes from a mishpocha chashuva ma'oid, where they happen to be eneklach of the Baal Shem, together with the Vilna Goyim, together with other tzaddikim or kedoshim? And so therefore he says to himself, if I give a get to this lady, she has a number of sisters who are all wonderful young ladies, and they're the same Baalei Miyuchas as she. If I'm going to go and give her a get, I won't be able to go marry any of them.
Can't marry them anyway, Bechaya sisters.
No, he doesn't intend marrying more than 12 at one time.
Okay.
He only wants to marry one woman at a time.
I see.
However, he would love to be married into this very Choshiva family. When he married Sprinza, he heard that she was the crown jewel. But he finds out that the crown jewel has a bunch of nidarim. And therefore he intends getting rid of her and then hopefully marrying the sister. But he can't marry the sister, because once he married one, we have the Isha Alachoisa Leisikach Bechayeha, as long as the first one is still alive. Ah! So Rava says, if you're just talking about a regular, normal lady, Itaka wouldn't be a problem. And that's the reason why, if afterwards she goes to the Bezdin and she's Matzah Neder, Mikudeshes. You know why Mikudeshes? Because it works for Mafreya. And he's not worried about, says Bazi Ishta Bebezdin. Therefore, yeah, good, Maskin. The second price, it says, Eina Mikudeshes, they're talking about an Isha Chashuva, where he's upset about the fact that she made and she will continue to make Nadar. I don't want to have to run after each time and find out whether it's a neder beinoy le beino, whether it's a neder of inay nefesh that I can be made for going to Bezin. Oh yeah, mali the tzorezois. I'm going to give her a get, but I won't be able to marry her sister to be the replacement wife. So therefore,
but he knows to begin with that if he marries an isha chashuva, she's going to be involved in this nadarim.
Every isha chashuva.
I don't know, but it seems the Gemara is giving the explanation that she is an isha chashuva.
We're assuming that 95% of women are not nishay nadarim; they don't normally make neders. This fellow, however, is very concerned about this young lady that maybe she does have a neder. So if she was just from a plain family, fine, we'll be matzah neder, no problem. But if she's an Isha Chashuva, then he regrets the fact that he married her, because he's going to lose out the opportunity in marrying her immediate family members, such as a sister. That's why Inu Mekudesh.
When we say Inu Mekudesh, then it's so much so that he can go and marry a sister without any problem. It's like no condition whatsoever.
If you hold literally Inu Mekudesh, nothing happens.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't want to become ostrich to her kreivis, to her relatives. The safe of that price, which we have not previously quoted, the Gemara quotes it now. What happens if he has nidarim? Not that she had nidarim, but he had nidarim. And he made a statement at the time of the marriage, I'm marrying you, Almanas, she'ein olai nidarim, or for that matter, mumin, as we'll see in a moment. And it turns out that unfortunately he does have nidarim, and he does have mumin. So as far as nidarim are concerned, we don't have a problem with his going to the bezin to go and be matir neder, because she will not have akpoda. That he's been mavazi himself to go into Bezdin, because men go into Bezdin all the time for litigation. If they had a problem with somebody in Mischar, you owe me $5. They don't owe you $5. Let's go to the Ruv and find out. So there's no svara that she would be concerned that she doesn't want that her husband be mispaze Bezdin. However, there is the same problem l'choira that got me this odom choshev. And therefore, so it says the Gemara, in the safe of the same price, it says, "Avilusha halach etzel chacham v'hiti roi, etzel roi feviri ba'oisai from any woman mikudeshes." Now, why is it mikudeshes? Because we're matineder and it's oikel mafreya, and there's no svar over here about isha roitze shaloi tizbaza isha ba'ala bebezin mikudeshes. The Freit Gemara, why? Listening say ena mikudeshes, the layman say in the price of that he comes from a choshev mishpacha. The Amr that she says, I don't want to go and be married to this fellow and chas v'shalom have to demand a divorce if it turns out that he has nidarim, because then I will be precluded from marrying his brother. I don't want that. So just like you say in the ratio of the brides, Einim Kodeshes, because the Isha Chashuva say the same thing in the Braisa, in the Sefer, Einam Mekudesh is because it's an Odom Choshev from a Choshev family. Everything Mara, and we've had this Gemara before, a woman is desperate to get married, and she's willing to go and take even a Baal Nidorim and a Baal Mumin. Does she want that L'chadchila? No! But if she's able to get married, she's very thankful. Kireish Lakish, Yamrish Lakish, Taf Lamesif Tan Dum Lamesif Armala. The woman wants to be able to live with someone else rather than stay the rest of her life like an almana, like a spinster without a husband. So therefore, worst comes to worst, if he has nedarim, too bad, so sad, but I'll put up with it. But the husband says, I'm not going to put up with it, because a man has a much easier time in terms of finding shidduchim and getting married, and he doesn't have that tav l'meisim tandu l'meisim arma. And the Gemara gives us three very, very good examples. Abaye Omar, Hishum Shemana Gavra, even if her husband is physically inferior in terms of that he is as tall as a nemola. Hashem Shemana means an ant. In other words, he's a midget. So many people would say, married to a midget? Kurse Becharosa Ramila. When she sees the fancy ladies, where Becharosa means Benois Choyrin, the aristocracy, the royalty, sitting at the Levaya of the Queen of England, she's going to go and take her chair and push and say, Nancy, can you move over? Sally, can you move over? Sprinza puts her chair in the middle, and she sits down proudly. I'm also a married lady, even though her husband is as short as a midget. Similarly, Rapapa Omar, the Nafsa Gabra, if her husband is a Nafsa, Nafsa means that he is in the business of combing hair of an animal, which was considered to be a very, very lowly type of parnasa. Today, you might say it would be a sanitation department worker. You wouldn't say he's in the garbage department, because that smells. Sanitation department, oh, but no comment.
Anyway, waste management.
Waste management, beautiful. So,
this woman was saying, my son is short, you know, and she was worried about shidduchim. And this man who was standing there said, you know, I was recently at a chasana, and a short man walked in, and the whole room stood up for promotion.
Good, shkoyach. So that was the first story. So Rabbi Omar de Nafsa Gavra, even if her husband has a lowly profession, Tekraya b'sipi bava v'teisiv, she's going to call out to him from her sipi base, that means from her threshold of her house, and say, Yanko, please come in. I want to sit next to you here in the porch. We want to greet all the people passing by on Shabbos to wish them all good Shabbos. I am proud to be married to this person of a very lowly profession. Sit next to me. Will be able to be seen together in public. Ravashi Omar, the Kolza Gavra, even if her husband happens to be from a lowly background, Rashi says, Mimishpachas Doifi, twice, an article from Isa Varusha, or from Yishmuel.
Kolza Lashon cursed?
Rashi says, Kolza Mimishpachas Doifi, a person who has poor lineage. What does she say about that husband? You don't even have to go and supply me with adashim, lentils, for supper. I'll take care of everything. You just be my husband, even if you come from questionable or cloudy lineage. So we see that you have three examples. Why does Igmar give three examples? So one of the Mepharshim says, because we're... Would you like to say something? That it wants to give examples, number one, of physicality. He's a short midget. Second one, he comes from a very poor parnasa and a very, indistinguished, a disgraced parnasa. And the third one is that he's disgraced in terms of his lineage. It makes no difference. A woman is desperate. She wants to get married. That's why, even if it turns out that this person is an ish nadran, he makes the nedarim, I'll put up with it. Even if his first name is Ralph, and he constantly makes a neder, it's no problem. I will put up with it. Tana, we learned in the Brisa.
If this were taken to the further out, you'd say, what woman would never want to get divorced?
Mm-hmm.
Because she'd rather time.
Unless she's the subject of abuse and stuff like that. But normally, yeah, you know. Normally a woman wants to be that. I had a partner of mine at Kelly Dry, very high-powered lawyer, brilliant young lady. She comes from a modern Orthodox background, but she's a bissel schwach today. Anyway, so we invited her to come to our home for Hanukkah. She was already getting on in years, and she sits down next to my wife after the Hanukkah lecht and after the Yisuda, and she says to her, I would go and give $1 million to change places with you. In other words, to have a married woman, to have children, lighting Hanukkah lecht, and she's all by herself, she has no one. A woman wants to get married. Anyway, Tony, getting back to the Gemara, Tony, we learned the Braisa, the Kulan, all of these three ladies, Mizanois, the Toilois, the Balein. At the end of the day, they really cannot live with a midget. The lady happens to be 5'6", and the husband happens to be 3'5". If the husband happens to work for the sanitation department, waste management, zikendisht. If the person happens to be ipsanaynikal of Aysel or Yishmuel, zinisht. So what do they do? Officially, this is my husband. Unfortunately, they're mizana with somebody else. They become pregnant from somebody else. And they say, oh, this is my husband. You know, what are you asking? You're my husband.
Achmanosa.
Good. And we continue on. And the Mishnah, we said, what is the definition of a balas mum? He made a tanai amanasha in ba mumin. What's the description of a mum? So the Mishnah said, look it up in Masechtas Bechoiris. Whatever passes by a kohen, passes by a lady. Tana, you learn the braisa. We see for aleim. Ladies have three more that a kohen does not have. Number one, zeya, if they do a lot of perspiration. The shuma, if they have a wart, for reyach ha-peh, if they have bad mouth odor. These three don't apply to kahanim, but they apply to noshim. It's not true. But tanan, let's go to Masechtas Bechoiris. Hazokin v'hachoyle v'hamizuan. This is not referring to kahanim. This is referring to animals, because in Sefer Vayikra, it lists a whole bunch of animals that cannot be brought for a carbon because they are considered to be bali mum. And the Mishnah Mechoyres tells us that if you have zaked, an elderly animal, I don't know how old is elderly. Most animals don't live till 120, so maybe the animal is quite 30 years old, whatever. But you can see it's already drooping, it's a gait, with a walker, etc. Ve'achoyla, or an animal which is sickly. Vamizum, an animal which has a foul odor. Those three animals are possible for hakrof. Utsanam, we learned in the Mishnah. Mumin ein ben kvuin ben uivrim psulim ba'odam. Not only by behemoths, but even by kohanim. Say if this is a mum kavua, that's there all the time. Say if it's uivr, it's going to pass on. Nevertheless, if possibly by a kohen is not allowed to do the avoider if he's one of the three. So we see that mizuam, if he has a bad odor, bad body odor, pollution, that's a psul. So if that's the case, you just said now they were moistened by women, zeya and reyach hapeh. The Gemara assumes in the Havamina that that's a synonym for mizuam, because both of them smell. So bazoi, why are you telling me in the braisa, hoisifu aleihen, even kohanim have these women? Depends on whether this is the type of perspiration, the type of body smell that's there at all times, or it's the type of thing that passes on. If it's the type of thing that's possible, that it's there at all times and there's no way that you can cure it, then even by kahanim it passes. What was the distinction we're making between a woman and between a kohen? That type of zeya that you can go and
take a shower.
Take a good shower. And although it's not going to last forever, but vis-a-vis the kohen, if it lasts for the next 3 or 4 hours, takes the shower, he runs into the Beis Mikdash, does all the avoida, and it's not a problem. However, vis-a-vis a woman, even if she can take a shower, that doesn't do the trick. Why doesn't it do the trick? Because as Rashi says on the next teretz of the Gemara, a kohen only has to do avodah for 2, 3, 4 hours, and then if he has a body smell, he'll go back into the shower. Or he'll say, okay, I'm more for the rest of the day, let somebody else take over the avodah. But if you live with a woman, you live with her 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. You can't expect her to take a shower every half an hour. So therefore, that doesn't work. Now the only problem is, Igmaris says over here, that doesn't passel by a kohen. That's strange, because we just learned in the Mishnah Mumin Elu Bein Kvuin Bein Oyver, even if they do go away, it's still possible. You just told me Bezei Oyveres, he gives a chanetza. He go to take a shower. What's going on? So Toysis, the second Toysis says that we say here in the Braisa that Zei Oyveres is talking about that they've gone to the doctor and the doctor says, yes, this will go away. It's like a mum oiver, that a person, for instance, has a broken arm or broken leg. Okay, at that time they're possible to do avoida. They're wearing a cast, but in Mi'at Hashem it will go away. Come back in 6 weeks, we'll take the cast off, and presto, you'll be back to normal. So here too, the Zeya that we're talking about is, or the Mizum that we're talking about, is that eventually it will go away. But at this point in time, it's still there. So, what you can go and do is take a shower, and that's fine, but vis-a-vis the lady, that's not going to help because of the 24-hour nature of living together with a woman. So therefore, when the Gemara makes a distinction between Kohen, where Zeya Oiveris is good, it says, even if it's a Mum Oiver, it's still possible. Mum Oiver means that it will go away in Mi'at Hashem in another 6 weeks. The doctor says there's a refuah, you take antibiotics for the next 6 weeks, and this whole situation will go away. But at the moment, it's still there. Oh, for that, what you can do is go and take a quick shower, and then during that time, for the next hour or two, 3 hours, whatever, he'll be kosher to do the avodah. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi said the whole premise of Yakasha is that Ezeya and Riach HaPeh and Mezuam are all synonymous terms. It's not. Ezeya, Mezuam, and Karomis. Ha'asam gabi kanim efshali over b'kiyu ha'dechamra. Umariach HaPeh nami efshad anokim pilpul over b'pumei b'yavad avoid gabi isha li efshad. So the Gemara is giving a similar terence to before, but the Gemara is saying is these two are fundamentally different. Why is it fundamentally different? Because Gabi Kahanim, if you want to go and take away the Zeya problem, what you can do is you can go and take a bath. The Kiyua the Chamra. Chamra means wine. Kiyua means it's pungent. That here it means that it's wine vinegar. If you go into wine vinegar, that will take away the Mizuham. And therefore, that will take away it won't take away the Mizuham, it will take away the Zeya. And that's why the Gabi, a man, even if he perspires a lot, go into Chichakiyot and Chamra, wine, vinegar, and everything will be fine. As far as I'm concerned, I don't particularly like the scent of vinegar. I would say rather don't go and take the vinegar bath and just remain a Baal Zeya. But apparently there are people that like this type of thing, it's fine. If a person has bad mouth odor and you don't have Listerine or Scope or whatever, now, go and put in pilpula, like peppers. Today people say, do take a sucking candy. Well, but avoid and then do the avoid after the bad reich hapeh goes away as a result of the peppers. Usually, I should buy a woman. This is not possible. Why isn't it possible? Again, because you live with a woman 24 hours. So we focused on the first and the third of these two, of these three, the zeya and the reich hapeh. What about the shuma? Shuma means a wart. Pray to my echidami. How are you telling me that a wart hassles by an isha? It is paser, if it's the type of wart where here is growing out, that passes by a koyin as well. Idalei is paser, if there is no here, so isha mekdor the Ibrahim is to be a large wart, even by a koyin this passes, because it looks so unseemly, so unsightly. Isha Mekdanev is a small little wartechel, that klein shigir, hachav hachav epasla, and both of them don't pasla, so insignificant and good. Tisanya, where do you get all these rules from? Yosei or Nisei? Oh, we have a braisa. Shuma sheyesh basei arizei mom. We're talking about kehanim now. If you have a shuma with hair in it, even if it's small, mom. Ein basei gdoilo arizei mom. Tana ein zemom. How do you define gdoilo katanev zeu gdoilo? Peter Shum Galil, Adki Isri Talki. Isri Talki, as you know, is one of the smaller silver coins. If it's that size and larger, it's a gedoyl. If it's smaller, then it's a ktan. Anyway, the point is, even by a coin, if it's a gedoyl or there's hair, it's a mum, even by a coin. If it's so small and it has no hair, it doesn't pass by a coin. And the chayr doesn't pass by a woman either. Zoi Bazoi, what are you telling me? Hoisifu Aleyan Shuma. By Meriz Al Padachta talks about where the wart is on her forehead. So this is tomorrow Padachta Rav and he fires. After all, when he proposed to her, and presumably when he met her pre-proposition, pre-proposal, he would have seen on her forehead that she has such a wart. And Vinifias, and apparently he was
accepting it,
resigned to it. He's accepted it. I can live with that.
Does this mean a man she has to see his bride before
it says Martin's not here, but in Kedushin it says the Osalodim Lakadesh Achira. The person has to go.
Okay, thank you.
Doesn't say he has to go on 18 dates, or that each date has to go for 8 hours.
Is this where somewhere? Sorry. I thought I could bear it. I cannot bear it.
100%. The Gemara says that by Muman, we had already before. The Gemara is going to say about it shortly once again. But the Gemara says over here, Nachamu, Kadachtu Rav and Nifayis. I saw it and I had a pierce. The Gemara, Nifayis. So what's the problem with the wart on her forehead? Repubba, by Medes Lotachas Kipa Shorosha. Ah, it's talking about that it was halfway down, or perhaps a little bit higher up on the forehead, and she always wore a tichel or a hat, and that tichel or hat would go down halfway on her padachas, depending on how much she pulls down on the hat, or how much she pushes it up. Sometimes it's covered, and sometimes it's not covered. And until now, he didn't see it, or he didn't notice it, because most of the time, she wore her hat down, or her kerchief, whatever, and he never saw it. And now he discovers it. Oi, Sprinzer, you didn't tell me that you have a wart on top of your forehead. I didn't think you would mind. Oh boy, do I mind. Am I upset? That's a mum that passed by ladies, that does not pass by men because it's so small. It's under the dachs. Amr of Chizdil. Ha'amil to megav Rav Shmieli, Uman Rav Shila. I heard the following. Now we're going to talk about other mumin. Noshcha kele v'nas and koymait tzalekes. If she ever got a dog bite, and you have now a permanent scar, how is the mom? The husband could say, I can't live with that. That scar, no, that can't. Amr of Chizdil, koil over be'isha, if a woman has a thick voice.
Is that a low voice?
No, of his thick, like a masculine voice.
Okay.
As opposed to the sweet voices that you would expect a woman to have. How is the mom? That's considered to be a mom. Shenemar, ki koilach orei v'marech noveh. Rav Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael and Shir Hashirim that Oy Lechorav, your voice is so sweet and is so pleasant. Marach Noven, you also have a pretty appearance. So that's referring to in the Shir Hashirim as if Klal Yisrael is a woman. So here we're saying that a woman typically has a nice, pleasant voice. If she has a thick, coarse voice, then that's a mum, and the husband can say Nishvami, nothing. And now we talk about other types of mumin. Tani Rav Nosson Bira, Bein Dadi Isha Tefach. If between one dot on the right side and one dot on the left side is a tefach of space, that is blank. What do you mean blank? So Rav Acha Breid Rav Kamad Rav Asher, the main tefach of Mayusa. That's good. That's a good shear, and that's not a mum. Only Rav Asher, you know, just the opposite. Got me mumin, Tani. That is a mum. So much space. The comma, what would be normal and desirable? Rabbi Yisholish Etzvois. If there's three Etzvois of space between one dot and the other, that's nice, that's presentable. If it's four or more, that's already considered to be a mo. Tani Rav Nosson Oymer, Kol Ishi Shedader Gassim, Yishol Chavreisel. If you have any woman that has particularly heavy dadin, which are very gross compared to other women, to her friends, Hariz Emo, that's considered to be a mo. The comma, how do you measure that? Tefach. If it's a tefach deeper or longer than your normal regular dadin, that's considered to be a mum. It should be a ganze tefach, 4 or 5 inches longer than your regular normal dadin. I saw an Arab woman. She was able to go and be meinik, to go and nurse her child with the child and the dadin on her back. She was able to somehow push her dadin to the back, over her shoulder, on the side, twice, and she was meinik as benah. Sounds like a shtick of guzman, but nevertheless it's a shtick of the Gemara, and therefore, if it is so heavy and so big, this is unsightly, and a husband can say, I'm not interested. Now, we have an unrelated memra. The reason why we're bringing this unrelated memra is because the last memra that the guest brought about the daven was Ramaisha Bar Berevi B'shulam Levi Mishmesh B'shulam Levi. So we have a, I'm sorry?
Mesha, it's
you feel the Ramaisha, Gesundheit. So Gemara brings a pasuk. Tzion Ye Omer Ish, the Ish, Yuleba, Hu Yechayuneha Elyon. This pasuk is talking about the Osad Lavoi, when in Yet Hashem, the Umayso Oilam, are basically going to throw us out of their countries and send us to Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to go and say, well, Tzion Ye Omer, they're going to say about Tzion, about Yerushalayim, Ish Ve Ish Yuleba, this person and that person were born there, go back to Eretz Yisrael and live in Eretz Yisrael. So now that what's bothering the Gemara is, why does the Pasuk say Ish Ve Ish twice? Tzion Ye Omer, Ish Yuleba, what is Ish Ve Ish? Amere Meisha Bar Berevi B'shulam Levi, Echon Anoderba. The Pasuk when it says Yuleba means Daka, someone who was born in Eretz Yisrael, in Tzion, V'yechon Mitzap L'roisa, and also a person that was never born in Eretz Yisrael, he was born here in New York, but his whole kavanah, his whole tefillah, every day, he says three times a day, Yishlaim Ircha Barachman Toshel, V'sechzeno Einenu B'shubcha L'tzion Barachman, I can't wait. That's the Ish V'Ish, side the one that's born there, and side the person that would, has that tremendous tshuka to live there. Amr Abayi, Chad Minayu, Odif Mitrei Minan. Someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and is born in Eretz Yisrael, he is smarter and sharper than two of us here in Bava. Or it says, Avir the Eretz Yisrael Mach. Avir Eretz Yisrael makes a person into smarter, into a chacham. Amarava, v'chad minon, but one of us here in Bava, Kisalik Lahasa, when we move to Eretz Yisrael, all of Kitrei Minayu, then we happen to be like two of there. In other words, if you're born in Eretz Yisrael, and you come to Chutz Laret, that person in Eretz Yisrael is two times smarter, if you will, Trei Minon, like two Chutz Laret, two Chutznikim. However, if a Chutznik moves to Eretz Yisrael, he becomes smarter than two of there. He was one of the Shvachar Talmidim. He didn't even understand the Shir. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. Kari Lam, that he used to call us back in Babel, Babloi Tipshoi, the Babylonians who are Tipshim. Rabbi Yirmiya, you used to be the Babel Tipish. That went to when I lived in Babel. Once I moved to Eretz Yisrael, he became so much smarter. Therefore, he looked back at his former colleagues as Babloi Tipshoi. The interesting thing is, this expression, Babloi Tipshoi, you have several times in Shas. Each time it is Reb Yirmiya that's Taka saying Babloi Tipshoi, except for one time, it's Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira was the same thing. He also lived originally in Chutz Laaretz. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He also became, apparently, twice as smart as the B'nai Chutz Laaretz. And he looked down on his former colleagues and said, Abloi Tipshay. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Zot the Mishnah. Hoyu bar mumin halogu. What happens if she had these mumin? Go back to the beginning. Hoyu bar mumin v'oidim v'esaviyya. She had mumin when she was still in her father's home. Av tercha haviraya shemishinis arsa hoyu bar mumin halogu. Again, in the good old days, they didn't have Eris and Nisun back to back like we have today. From Eris until Nisun could be a period of up to a year. What happens? The husband said to her at the time of the original Erisin, Amanas She'ein Olayich Mumin. Okay. What happens? Hoyuba Mumin? He found out and he discovered that she had mumin already when she was still Beveh Saviyah, before she entered into his rishus, into the Baal's rishus. And now the husband is saying, I am very upset. I suspect that these mumin were here pre-marriage. And if that's the case, Eina Mekudeshes, that's what we learned in the Mishnah in Ayin Beis, Harim Amekadeshes, Isha Amanash, Ein Ba Mumin, V'nimtzu Ba Mumin, little movement over here, ain't a mikdash. Forget about the shidduch. The shidduch is off. We were never married. Give me back my ring. We're done. What happens is that now the Av has the burden of proof to show that at the time of Kiddushin, she had no mumin. Unfortunately, post-Erisin, she got a mumin. These things happen. She fell, or there was some sort of illness, whatever.
Why should it matter if she had no nedarim the shas of a time of Erisin, and then she made nedarim? It would also be a problem, and the problem is that
who denies that?
So
following up in the mission about
right. The parallel is that it's at the time of chuppah that he's makpid that she doesn't want mumin on his bride now.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it matter whether or not she had mumin at the time of erisin or not?
We're assuming that these mumin are permanent, and now the question is, can he get out of the marriage and say, I don't even need to give you a get because I made it tonight that you have no mumin? And I hear and I see that you do have mumin. Now, we don't know when the mumin occurred. The mumin could have occurred pre-Erisin, and then it was a mekach tos, or could have happened post-Erisin. And therefore the mekach was fine, and nistach was sedeo. It's his mazel that unfortunately she got a mum thereafter. So now, who has the burden of proof to show when the mum occurred? If the mum occurred pre-Erisin, ainu mikudeshes, marriage is over. That was the tonight. Even if there's a roife later on that can help, that can only help mikana laba. Doesn't help at the time of the original marriage, like we have in the brayse. So zokta Yemura, zokta Mishnah. He tainas that the mum happened pre-Erisin, and there was a major cover-up, and they didn't tell him. The father and the girl say, no. This mum happened 2 days after the vart, after the Erisin. And not our fault. Nistach v'sedeu, it's your mazel that was goyim. Who has the burden of proof of showing that they're right and they're wrong? Says the Mishnah, Av Tzorech Laviraya Shemishin Nisarsa. The father has to go and prove. Now that's really the girl. The girl through the father goes and will have to bring proof that in fact this happened post-Erisin, and therefore the Kiddushin was Chal, and if he wants to divorce her, he's going to have to give a get. It's not that this was a mekach tos at the time of the marriage, she was free from it. It goes together. After Chavi Raishim Nisar, so Hoyu Bamuman Halalu, that this only occurred post Erisin, Staf was Sadeo, and it was his mazel, and finished. What happened next is Rishus HaBaal. At the entire time until Nisuan, the Baal knew nothing, and now she enters into the Rishus HaBaal, and now we find that she has a mum. Now the burden of proof shifts from her side to his side. What happens now? Habal Tzorech Lavi Raya. He has to go and prove She'ad Shemin Esarisa Hoyibo Mumin Eilu. That these Mumin happened pre-Erisin, Hoyimekhoi Mekach To'us, and therefore the whole Kiddushin, and therefore the follow-up Nisun, none of that was Chal. We don't even need a get. We certainly don't need a Ksuba. But he has to prove it. He has the burden of proof to go and show that this took place pre-Eris. If he cannot go and show that, we will assume that it happened either post-Erisin or it happened post-Nisuin. That after they had full-fledged Nisuin, then she became a Balas Mum. Now naturally, if he only finds out at the time of the first Bia, right after the Chuppah, it's not shaykh to go and say that this happened now post-Nisuin. He just got her 5 minutes ago post-Nisuin. Obviously the mum happened before. So the Mefarshim say this is talking about a situation where there was not an immediate realization or acknowledgement that she was a Balas Mum. He only realized it a month later. She was able to cover it up, or they didn't have beer, she was a nida, whatever the situation was. So now, the assumption is that this happened post-Nisuin. If he wants to go and undo the marriage and say it was a mekach tos, he has the burden of proof of showing that this happened pre-Erisin. All of this discussion is taking place with mumin shebeseisa. It's a hidden mumin. Our mumin shebegolui, if it's out in the open, any yochalita, he can't go and say that, I didn't realize. Of course you realized. But rather, says Tap Rashi, Yodav and Espias. He reconciles himself. He says, I'm going to go and suffer with this for the rest of my life, but I'm prepared to do so. Any Yochalip, and he cannot go and have Tanis. He knew about it. After it's called, everybody sees. It's on her face, it's on her nose, it's on her hand. Everybody sees. Any Yochalip. The Mish Merchitz, boy, see here, we've had this already before, as there was a base of Merchitz. We think today of base Merchitz combined with a mikveh. Those days, people didn't have private baths in their home, so they went to a public base of Merchitz. Because his sisters and his mother and whatever, they go to the base of Merchitz, just like the Kala goes to the base of Merchitz. So he can find out from them, is there a problem? And they'll say, no, Baruch Hashem, everybody's fine. No, Mumin, everything's good. So then, okay, so now the Gemara is asking what appears to be a stira between the Reish and the Sefer. In the Reish, we said, who has the burden of proof? The father and the daughter. Their side. If they cannot prove it, then the husband wins. On the other hand, in the Sefer it said that once she enters the Shusabal, then the burden of proof shifts to him, and he has to go now and prove the case. The Gemara wants to know why in the Reisha does her side of the equation have to prove it, and why in the Sefer does his side of the equation have to prove it. The Gemara assumes, therefore, that is a stira. We have a similar situation at the beginning of our Masechta, where you had a woman that at the time of the initial bia, the husband says, and I'm afraid that she was already a Be'ula pre-Eirisin. And therefore, if he made a T'nai Almanas, that she should have to be a P'sula, or if we assume naturally that he was thinking of a P'sula, then
the K'suva proves it. The K'suva says 200.
That's a K'suva. That's because the rabbi wrote it out. Based on the assumption that she was absolute.
Right. So he signs it, and he accepts it. He signs it. So that's his. He's saying is on this. These are the terms. Read the contract. Read the document.
Perfect. Good. Having said that, now when he discovers that she is a Be'ula, what is now the ramification? Right. He says the whole thing was a Mekach Toys. I never agreed to it, and therefore, if you say rabbis have to give a get, fine, I give a get, but no ksuba, zero, because this happened pre the Eirusin. The whole thing was a Mekach Toys. Goodbye. I don't want to live with her any longer. Maximum get, a bezichem mishka ksuba. That's what he types. The woman, on the other hand, says, no, misheristani ne'enasti. At the time of the Eirusin, when you gave me the ring, I was a psula like all the other million girls that are psulais. Unfortunately, after the Eirusin, somebody was ma'anis me against my will. What can I do? I am Nebuchadnezzar, an innocent victim of a terrible perpetrator. So, what's the din then? You have to take me. And it's not a mekach tois, and we're going to live together. That's the dialogue that we had at the beginning of our Masechta. And if you remember, we had a machloikis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Gamliel and between Rabbi Yeshua, where Rabbi Gamliel says, we rely on her. We go buser her chazaka de gufa. What means the chazaka de gufa? She was born a psula, and we assume that she remained a psula until she became a ba'ula. And since I don't know when that took place, I'm going to assume that it took place recently, post-Eirusin, and she is believed. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua said very strongly, loy mi pio anu chayim. We don't go after the cheskas haguf. We go after the cheskas hamamayin. Where is the money residing? In the Baal's rishus. You want the Baal to go and pay out as if she is a psula? Forget about it. You prove that she was a psula. So now, getting back to our Mishnah, it would seem that our Mishnah is accepting both points of view, both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. And that's what the Gemara says. Tam de maisio avraya. Av has to prove that this took place
post
Eirusin, like it says in the Mishnah. Av toch levirai mishen nis arsa hoyu bamumen halol nistachlus sedeu. He has the burden of proof of showing that. Holy maisio avraya. What happens if the Av does not bring that raya? Habal Mehemen. Then the Baal would be Mehemen because we go after the Cheskas Hamamay, Hamaytim Chaber Levaraya, and he's believed. So Mani Rabbi Shui, the Amalim Pianuchai. We don't listen to what she has to say, we listen to what he has to say. But I'm a Sefer. Nechasalushis Habal. Habal Turch Lavi Raya. Tama the Maisi Habal Raya, only because he brings a Raya. Holy Maisi Habal Raya, but if he doesn't, well, Av Mehemen, then the father is believed. And then the husband would have to go and pay full ksuba if and when there is a get. So, Reish and Sefer, you're going for Bishua to Gamliel. Omra blows it. Oh, that's right, Tavra. I have no choice. Mishishanazu, Loishanazu. In fact, it's a machloikis in Hamishnah. According to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yeshua, it would in all cases be that the Baal would have to go, not the Baal, the Av would have to go and bring the Raya. And the Sefer case, which is Ram Gamliel, he would hold in both cases that it's on the Baal of the Raya because she is Nehemenes. So, Mishishanazu, Loishanazu. So we stay with this teretz for a moment, and we continue to amplify on the teretz. And Omar Rava, Loi Teimer Rabbi Yeshua, Loi Ozel Basa Chazaka De Gufa, Chlal, Elik Li Ozel Rabbi Yeshua Basa Chazaka De Gufa, Heicha De Ika Chazaka De Mamoina, Aval Heicha De Leka Chazaka De Mamoina, Ozel Rabbi Yeshua Basa Chazaka De Gufa. What is the Gemara telling us? As we were explaining before, what is the machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and Ram Gamliel? We have two chazokas which are working against each other. On the one hand, she has a cheskas aguf because 99.999% of all girls are born as psulois, and until I know otherwise, she has a cheskas aguf that she was a psula. And therefore, I will assume, based on that chazoka, at the time of the erusin, she was a psula. And the Mekach was not a Mekach Toys. I now, Bishas, the Nisuan, the husband discovers that she happens to be a Ba'ula. We will assume that because of that Chesed Aguf, that this happened as late as possible, which means, Misha Erastani Ne'enasti. Only after the Erisin did she become Nebuchadnezzar or a Ba'ula. Or in our case, only at least, just like by the Erisin, we say that a girl is born with a cheskas that she is a psula. A girl is born with a chazaka that she is Baruch Hashem Tzima. She's gesund. How many people are born as Bali woman? Not that it doesn't exist in society, of course it exists. But the vast, vast majority have a chazaka that Baruch Hashem they gesund. And they don't have any Bali woman. So when did this mum occur? Only subsequently after the Erisin. So that's a cheskas aguf on the one hand. Based on that Chesed Aguf, the woman and the father want to be able to get a full 200 suba if and when this marriage ever terminates. That's the opinion of Ram Gamliel, that we have Chesed Aguf. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua sides with the husband, and he says, forget about Chesed Aguf, we go after the Cheskas HaMamayin. Where does the Mamayin reside? By the Baal. You want to get that Mamayin? So says now Rava, don't assume that Rabbi Yeshua dispenses and dismisses the Cheskas Aguf. He also agrees that there is something known as the Cheskas Aguf. He just says that if the Cheskas Aguf is working against the Cheskas Mamayin, the Mamayin trumps the Cheskas Aguf. This is the Gantz of Orphan Amara. Amara, like Dame Rabbi Yeshua, the Azubas Chazak and the Gufa Klaal. When I have a chazaka de mamayna on the other side of the equation, if there is no cheskas hamamayna, there's only a cheskas aguf.
Where does that play out?
Oh, that's what the Gemara is going to tell us. Where does that play out? Here it says the sanya. Really, it's a mishnah. It's a mishnah in the sechtas negoyim. So it really should say that none. Says the Mishnah. In Baharis could Maseir Love and Tomei. In Maseir Love and Kodim, Baharis is Tahar. What are we referring to? A person calls out to the Kohen. He calls him on the telephone. Kohen, please come. Kenega Nirali. That's talking about Baboyas, but here we're talking about on the skin. I found a Nega Taras. I want you to go and tell me, is it a problem? Is it not a problem? Am I a Metzoyra? Am I not a Metzoyra? So, if you look up the Parshiyos Tazria Metzaira, in particular in Parshas Tazriah. There it says that if the Kohen finds, number one, one of the four Marois Negoim, in other words, it's very, very white, it's either Kisid HaHeichol, or it's Kitzer Malovan on a brand new sheep, when it has, or it's like snow, one of the four that the Mishnah lists as Marois Negoim, very intense white. But that's not enough. It also has to have a Simoni Tumah. One of the Simoni Tumah is Seir Lovan. So the Pasuk says, if there's Seir Lovan Babaharis. The sound of that Seir Lovan Babaharis is that the Baharis, which is the Nega, came first, and Seir Lovan grew out from that subsequently. In such a case, if there's a Baharis and the Seir Lovan, the person is Tame. What happens if the Seir Lovan came in first? A person in the middle of his skin, a person is a young man, otherwise he only has black hairs, pinked, two white hairs are growing out, and only subsequent to that did a Baharis, did a white blotch grow out subsequent to the Seir Lovan on that same spot. What's the din? Person is Tohar. That's the Mishnah. In Baharis, Kodim L'Seir Lovan, first the Baharis appeared on the skin, and then the Seir Lovan started growing out, Tameh. If Seir Lovan came first, Kodim L'Baharis, and then the Baharis sprouted, Tohar. What happens if I don't know? Person wakes up one morning, and he says, Oivai, I have a Baharis and Seir Lovan. Which one came first? I don't know. Safek, you have to be Machmer, he's Tameh. Rabbi Shua Aimer, Keha. The word Keha literally means dimmed. What does dim have to do with all this? My Keha, what does he really mean to say? Amarabba, the word Keha is a synonym for the word Tohar. So Rabbi Shua is saying he is Tohar. Now what's the reason Takawai Rabbi Shua says he's Tohar? Because under normal circumstances, people are not Mitzrayim. People, the vast majority of people, are normal. And even if a person does Chas V'Shalom get a Negat Tzaras, 99% of the time, let's not talk about that. Most people are Baruch Hashem Tohar. So now you have a Shaila. Which came first? Did the Baharis come first or the Seir Lovan? I don't know. It's 50-50. I don't know which one came first. You go bus a Chazaka de Gufa. Chazaka Gufa was until he came to the Koyin this morning. He was Tohar. He remains Tohar until you prove otherwise. So I see, says Rava, that Rabbi Yeshua agrees that there's something known as a Cheskes HaGuf, and therefore in our Mishnah, and the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, he should also agree that I assume that she was a Psula until I found out otherwise, and I should assume that she was Gizunt until I found out otherwise that she was a Mum. However, is that contrasting other Chazak on the other side of the equation, that's a Cheskes Mamay, the Cheskes HaGuf falls away in front of the Cheskes Mamay. But when there is no Cheskes Mamay, you go after Cheskes HaGuf, and that's the case here, by the case of Nega, that we assume the person is Tar. And this we've concluded, the first Pshat in the Mishnah. Now we come to Pshat number two. Remember what was the problem? The ratio we said, the Av has to go and prove it, sounds like Rabbi Yeshua speaking. The Sefer says that the Baal has to prove it, sounds like Rabbi Gamliel speaking. So the first Terence was, Tava Mishishanezu, Veshanezu. Rav Amar, no. Reisha kan nimtzo v'kan hoyu, Sefer nami kan nimtzo v'kan hoyu. What Rav says is, the reason why the burden of proof shifts from father to Baal, or Baal to father, all has to do, where did you go and find the mum? In our mission, we're talking about mumen, of course. So, Reisha, of our case, kan nimtzo, where did we find the mum? We found the mum by the father. The Beis Aviyah, right? That was the Lashon of the Mishnah. So the husband says, I don't know when this happened, but I'm going to assume the worst, that this has been here from yesteryear. Maybe from the day she was born. Maybe from a month later. I don't know. Since Kan and So, since they're at the father's home, father, you have the burden of proof of establishing when did this occur. Did this occur post-Eirusin? Or did it occur pre-Eirus? The Sefer, however, is talking about that it's in the husband's rishus. Sefer nami, kan nimtzo v'kan hoyu. We're going to go and assume that, you know when this happened? Post-Nisuin. And that's when she became a balas mum. Maybe she tripped at the chasana. That's when she broke her leg. Prior to that, I was at a chasana where the kala was dancing in a very wild manner, and in the middle of the chasana, they had to call Hatzalah, and they took her to the hospital, and she had a broken leg, a broken ankle. So it could be, that certainly happened post-Nisuin. So where do we find for the first time the mom? The husband says, I found it post-Nisuin. Oh, the burden of proof shifts to you. We're going to come in, so it was found now at the time of Nisuin. That's when it happened, post-Nisuin. You have to prove otherwise. So therefore, there's no machloikis in the Mishnah. All depends on
location.
Where the location and who has the burden of proof. If the location was in the base of Ir, you prove it father. If it was the base Bala, you prove it Bala. Eis v'yabai, so afraid it's a bai. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Nichlas l'shus habal. Habal tzorch l'havi raya, she'ad shuletis ares, hoyibam mumen elu, v'yamekhoi mekach tos. He has to go and bring a raya. The burden of proof is shifted to him because he found the mumen in his home, host Nisuin. If he wants to say Mekach Tois, and therefore I don't want to go and give a Ksuba, certainly not a Ksuba, or I don't even want a marriage, because I made a Tanai, Koyin Lamasa, She'ein Olayich Mumin, and she has Mumin, Mekach Tois, I want to send her home. Goodbye, Charlie, or goodbye, Sprinzer. So Zokti Gemara, what do you have to do? He has the burden of proof to show that this is already pre-existing Koyin Hoeris. Frank Timura, why does it say Achleitis Aris? In Bichitis Aris Loi. Why didn't he just simply shift the burden of proof by proving that this happened pre-Nisuin? Even if it took place after the Aris, and let him prove that. Once that happens, we've shifted the burden of proof now to the father, and now the father is going to have to show that it happened taka post-Arison and not pre-Arison, because once he shifted it from the base Baal, and he shows that this happened the base of Ir, so even if he didn't prove that it took place pre-Arison, he just showed that it was base of Ir, that should be enough. Now the Av should have again that burden of proof to show that it took place pre-Arison.
We're talking about Shenichnis to
Lushus Abal, correct.
So now, but now they found this.
Correct.
But why are they talking about the Lushus Av?
So now, what did it say in the Mishnah? Let's go over the Lush in the Mishnah again. You don't have to go back. It's the Gemara quotes. Eitz v'yabai. Nichol Shus Abal, right? We agree, yeah. Shus Abal. Right. If the Baal wants to win the case
right. And
say, out,
right.
Habal tzorch lavi raya, she'ad shleitis aris hayibam mumen elu. He has to show, not only did this happen pre-Nisuin,
right. Even
happened pre-Arison.
Right.
If he can show that, v'yamekamekhtois, marriage is over. Now the Gemara is medayik. Ad shleitis aris. He has to go and prove that this took place pre-Arison. Pray tomorrow in Mishnah Saris Loi. If he can only show that this happened pre-Nisuin, that's not sufficient. He's got to show that it happened pre-Arison. Let him only have to shift the timing of the Mumin
back a short time.
Back to the base of Av. Once it's base Av,
that shifts back to the burden on the father to prove that it was even pre-Arison.
Exactly.
But we're holding now that she's Rishus of Havah.
The whole question about
and that's when he discovers the Mumin.
Right.
And what does it say in the Mishnah? He has to go and prove that it happened pre-Arison.
Right.
Why? Just push it back a few months when she was in Rishus Av and say, and now you prove that happened even for Arison.
Because now this is the situation we find ourselves right now.
And he has a burden of proof.
Right.
The question is, why does he have to go and satisfy his burden of proof
right. By
showing it happened pre-Arison?
Right.
Just shift it back a short time and show it happened not in his Rishus. It didn't happen under my watch.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. He should prove it that.
No. We're saying the Mishnah says he has to prove it happened before Arison. To show that the Arison was a Mekach Tos.
Let him bring two
Arison.
Right.
Just whether there was still Rishus Av.
Exactly.
He shifted back two time periods, not just one, two time periods.
Exactly. That's the Kasha the Bai is asking on Rav. Bring two Arison that she had this mum already a month ago, pre-Nisuin. When it happened, I don't know. But I know for sure it happened to Beis Aviyah. When's the Beis Aviyah? Beis Aviyah, what does it say in the Mishnah?
It's her problem. It's his problem now.
Now the father's problem to go and prove. So why does he have to prove before Arison? Just shift it back to the father. That's the most kasha.
I got you.
A very legal type of sophisticated kasha. Amalei, so I'll tell you why.
Rava says.
Rava answers. Mishnah is Arisa. You know why it's not enough to say Mishnah is Arisa? Mishnah Nikol Meimer. Chazoka Ein Odom Shoyse Bekois Elim Kein Boyd Koi. If this happened post-Arison, which means at the time of the original Erisim, this was not there. It wasn't there. That's okay. But what happens if it was there pre-Erisim? When you go and take a cup, right? Everybody takes a cup. You want to make sure that it's clean, right? You first look at it, and then you pour the coffee in, or you put the soda in. You want to make sure that it's clean. It's not clean. You either throw it away, or you go and wash and rinse it out. Most people today, if it's plastic, they just discard it. You know, that's the new society that we live in today.
Yes.
And therefore, you're going to say, the reason why it doesn't help just to go and bring a rye that was Mishnas Arsa, because, look at the Rashi, the last of the narrow light, Mishnas Arsa, loy, heavy about rye, shirol ba mumen halol, Mishnas Arsa, the oidim besa, via lav rye, that doesn't work, it's a part of the kash. The time Mishim kan mitzol kan hoyu, that the burden of proof shifts from av to baal. He has done a successful job now in shifting the burden of proof back to Harir Beis Aviyah. Nimtzo, I have two Edom that already a month ago she had these women. Aval al Korchach, Reisha the Sefer Pli. Okay, so we can leave that part out. Amalei, now Rav is answering back to the next Rashi. Amalei li oylam Reisha mishim kan mitzo kan hoyim. Like I said, O mishim is arsa. Why do I say that that's not sufficient? Mishim de ikatarti. Because we have now two tainas, two chazakas. The heicha shehevi edim shirol ba mumen halol mishnis arisa bebeis avia. If she brings two edim that we saw the mum a month ago when she was still bebeis avia, I'm shifting the burden of proof. Mishmalchi lavrayi, you know why that's not a raya. The ikatarti liyapis koycha. She still has two chazakas on helping on her side. Choda hamid haguf al ches kosoi v'loi hoyu babishas erizin shakol hoylich acher oiseshah. After all, at the time of erizin, we had, as the Gemara said before, hamid guf al chazaka. The guf's chazaka is that a person presumably did not have a woman unless you. She was a shleima. I nimtei mahur chazaka hoyu v'kan nimtzo. Yeah, but kan nimtzo kan nimtzo. If I find now that there are women here. Don't I assume that these were here from yesteryear, pre-Erisin, and that's why the father has to prove otherwise? A person doesn't drink from a kois unless he's boiding. If they were here pre-Kiddushin, Zeh, the chosin, Shechnisa l'chupa, who now, a year later, is taking her l'chupa, the duishti as a kois, b'yadua shebodka v'noidulay v'ruha v'nifayis. You can assume at the time of the Erisin, if you want to go and shift the burden of proof, he brought a proof that it happened Mishnas Arsa. And you're saying now, let the father prove that it happened pre-Erisin. Zokti Marta, that in other words, that pre-Erisin she was a Shleima, and he has that burden of proof. Says the Gemara, says the father, I don't have to go and prove that. You know why? Number one, she has a cheskes aguf, that she was fine. Number two, if there would have been a problem, my chusin would never have proposed to her in the first place. He wouldn't have given a ring. Because ain adam shoyse bekoisel king boitkai, and therefore by raw vinifayis, if he is right that it was pre Erisin that she had a mum, he would have known about it. He would have seen it. He would have heard about it from his cry voice, and therefore nifayis, it must be that he was maskim and he was reconciled that this is his lot in life to have a balas mum. Frank Dimara, you're telling me that that's the svara yochi achetu saris nami. Even if the husband brings a raya that the mum occurred pre-Erisin, right? We founded the Beis Bala. He has the burden of proof. What's the burden of proof? He has to go and show that this happened pre-Erisin. What happens if he proves that it happens pre-Erisin? Say the same teres nochemu. That what? That chazoka in odam shoyse bekoisem kein boidkoi. And if that's the case, why don't we say even in that case, he was moichel, he was nefayis. Why do we allow him to shift the burden, not shift the burden, prove that it happened pre-Eiris and say it's a Mekach Toys. Why don't we say the same Svara? Ein onim shoyse kois elim keibot, okay? El omrinan, chazoka, ein onim mefayis b'mumen. This is what you were raising before. You have a chazoka person, doesn't get reconciled with woman. He says, no, I'm never going to get reconciled. I cannot live with a woman who is a palace mom. So, Ibazoi, if that's the case, El Mishnas Arsa, I have the same Svara. In other words, make up your mind. Do you say that a woman, that a man, ein odem shoyse elam came by, and therefore he knew about it, and he was maskim? Or do we say a person is never maskim to woman? A person will never be able to go and live with it. So what's the difference again, mishnas arsa or postnas arsa? We go back originally to the first question that Abaye posed to Rava. According to you, Rava, that's all a question of shifting burden of proof. All that should be necessary for the Baal is to do is place the mumen in the father's home. Once it's in the father's home, now it's his burden of proof to go and show that it happened after the Erisin and not pre-Erisin. Why do you say that the Baal has to show that it took place pre-Erisin? That's the Gemara's question. So until now, the Gemara answered, the reason why the Baal has that burden of proof is because we assume that the father is right, that after all, she has a chazaka, that she was not a Baalas Mum pre-Erisin. And in case she was, then we will assume chazaka, the person doesn't drink until he checks out the kas. So therefore, I have very good reasons why the husband has to show, he has the burden of proof to show that it took place before Erisin. But for Eitimara, even if he shows that it took place before Erisin, what does that help? We just have this chazaka, ein anam shoysa b'koyslam kin boykai. So obviously, we don't hold of that chazaka. As long as he proves that it took place pre-Erisin, he could say it's a mekach tois. So then, we back to square one. Let him show that it took place post-Erisin, or not that it took place, that I have Adam, that she is a balas mum, post-Erisin, in the father's home. Now let the burden of proof shift to the father. Everyone, I'll tell you why there's a difference. By post-Erisin, if he only brings a raya that I know of two Edom that can show she was a balas mum in between the Erisin and Nisun, we don't know when it happened, but I know that she was a balas mum mishin esarsa, then the two chazakas. Tarti chazak. Number one, hamid gufal chazkos, like we said before, that probably it only happened post-Erisin. V'chazok ein odom shayis v'kais l'kei v'aybkai. V'ayro v'nefayis. Who? My amis, what are you going to tell me? Chazok ein odom v'fayis v'mumim? I have here two chazakas against one chazaka. Chazaka number one, that it happened as late as possible, because she was probably born a shleim and a tmima, not a balas mum. And number two, if in fact, pre-Erisin, if she was a balas mum, he probably knew about it, because you don't drink without checking it out. That's two chazakas on her side, that show l'chayra that this happened post-Erisin. Ah, you're going to tell me, but there's a contravening
chazaka
that says ain't all the mafias for moment. That's only one, two against one, and therefore outvoted. That's why he's outvoted, and that's why he has to go and prove not mishin esarza, but adshalei esarza. Continues in what adshalei esarza. How many chazakas do you have there? How many aguf al cheskosoi loy ikalameimar? Then you cannot go if he is able to go and prove that this happened pre Erisin. You don't have the Hamid Chuzuk al Chazakasai because I have proof that it happened actually.
You still have the stronger Chazaka that he accepted it.
My Ika Chazaka Dein Odom Shoyse Bekoyt Elam Ken Boy Koy, and therefore he must have accepted it.
Bahai Rose Fayez, so exactly.
Adarabba, I have a Chazaka against that. Ein Odom Mafayez Bemumin, Bahamid Mamun al Chazakasai. Here I only have one against one. If he brings a Raya post Erisin, I have two against one. If he brings Uriah pre-Erisin, I have one against one, and those two fall away. Since those two fall away, and he proves that it happened before Erisin, then he went instead of the father. That's why the burden of proof is on him. Thank you very much.